Have you ever heard of a place called Wall Drugstore? Not Walmart, Wall Drugstore. This store is located in the city of Wall, South Dakota, a thriving population of almost 800 people. And if you're driving anywhere in the United States, but especially between Idaho and Iowa, you will see road signs that say the following. Only 201 miles till Wall Drug. Just 457 more miles and you will be at Wall Drug. Even in remote areas like Canaan Valley, West Virginia, you will see a large sign that says, Wall Drug is only 2,656 miles from where you stand right now. Reportedly, there are Wall Drug signs on London buses, the Paris Metro, even the South Pole. There it is. Many years ago, we were on a family vacation. We went to Mount Rushmore, and we started seeing all these signs about Wall Drug signs. And I noticed that these signs didn't tell me why I should stop. They didn't even tell me what they were selling. They just wanted you to stop so you could say that you had been there. And this gimmick works. And so on this vacation, we stopped. I'm not even sure why, but we did. I went inside and I was hugely disappointed. They sold cheap souvenirs, t-shirts, box candy, just basic junk. And I thought to myself, they got me. This was a cheesy, self-promoting tourist trap. Anything that needs to advertise like that so deliberately and so indiscriminately must not be worth a second thought. The saturation of signs fills us with suspicion. And apparently, the crowd of people in our gospel reading would also have great suspicion of Wall Drug signs. Let's remember that they had just watched the feeding of the 5,000, one of Jesus' greatest signs, his greatest miracle. But now it was a new day, and they wanted to see more signs, or at least get some more bread. In verse 30 of our text, the people asked Jesus, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you?" These are the same people that just saw him feed 5,000 people, and they wanted to see another sign. Now, doesn't this remind you of us? If you watch someone do a professional magic trick, the first thing you say is, "Wow, did you see that? How did you do that? Can you do that again?" And Jesus refuses to do more tricks for the crowd. He knows that the crowd is only looking for more signs or to put more bread in their mouth. This large crowd forgot why God had provided signs for their ancestors in the first place. And Jesus reminds them that it was only when the Israelites are deep in the wilderness, cut off from all other peoples, cut off from all other sustenance, that God provided manna to satisfy their hunger. Is that you? Maybe you are disoriented in a cloud of physical and emotional wilderness. You feel that you have been cut off from all sources of sustenance. Are you looking for a sign from God? I think there are so many times in our lives where we are lost, where we are surrounded by that wilderness of unspeakable calamities, and we forget to step out in faith. Jesus is just an afterthought. They want to see another sign from Jesus. However, Jesus tells these people to not look for signs, but to look for a person. Jesus wants them to understand that he is necessary for spiritual life, just as bread is necessary when you are hungry. Now think about this now. When you are really hungry, you sit down at the dinner table and you know that food is going to answer that physical need. This happens to me every Thanksgiving. I sit down at the table, we have a family prayer, and then the fun begins. I begin eating, starting 3 inches from the table, and I stop eating when I touch the table. I do this every single year. And then I get up after I'm done, I stand up and I say this out loud, I don't think I could eat again for the rest of my life. I say this every year. And then 4 or 5 hours later, I roll off the couch, I walk into the kitchen, I open the refrigerator door on purpose, and I say, you know, a little turkey sandwich with a little mayonnaise would really taste good right now. I do this every year. So many times we need that reassurance of having food in our hands. That is our comfort zone. When World War II ended, Europe was overwhelmed with hungry children. They were now orphans. And these children were placed in very large camps where they would receive food and care. But these caregivers encountered a problem. These children were not sleeping. These children cried the entire night because they were anxious and they were fearful. Finally, a psychologist came up with a solution, and he instructed these caregivers to give each child a loaf of bread. But strangely, it was not to eat. They asked the children to just hold on to that loaf of bread when they were trying to go to sleep. And the results were astounding. The children began to sleep all night long because they knew for certain that they would have food the very next day. And holding on to that bread, it gave them three things, and they called them the three S's. Security, they were safe. Significance, someone actually cared about them. And satisfaction, there would be more bread the following day. That is what those children needed, because they had just gone through a terrible ordeal. I know for a fact that some of you are going through a terrible ordeal right now, and you need that bread to hold on to. You have the feeling that I'm not sure I'm going to make it through this one. Then listen to these words of our text. But I want you to listen to these words like he's talking to you directly today. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. Notice that Jesus uses this word, draw. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Greek word for draw is helkim. And the Greek meaning for this word is to draw someone in, trying to get them closer to you. That is God's intent, to have a closer relationship with you. But for most of us, we actually think that we are in charge. We think that we lead in that relationship with God. And in truth, it's just the opposite. He calls us, and we follow him. We Lutherans know this well. Many of us memorized this drawing from the third article. You want to, you can say it with me. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. That is the gift that never spoils. It never runs out, the gift of eternal life. And then Jesus tells us that to receive this gift, it doesn't require a sign. The only requirement is the work of God. And what is this work? It's actually found in verse 29 of our text. Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him in whom he has sent." God's greatest sign,
God's greatest miracle isn't a symbol, it's a person. God's greatest gift to us was to stop sending signs, and instead, he sends us Jesus, the bread of life. This is the bread that will permanently take care of your greatest hunger, and it is absolutely free. And once you eat it, you will never get hungry again. But the crowd didn't see it that way. When they looked at Jesus, they saw a baker. When Jesus saw them, he didn't look at hungry stomachs. He looked at hungry souls. Think for a moment how bread is made. It begins with grain. The grain must be planted in a field as a seed. When that grain is ripe, it has to be cut down and ground into flour. And then it has to pass through the fire of the oven. Jesus was planted as a seed in the womb of a young girl. He grew up to be tall, and then at the height of his ministry, he was cut down and put into the fire of the oven of God's wrath. And he came out of that fire as the finished bread of life. Don't you love that? An unopened loaf of bread will sit on a shelf. It's eventually going to mold. And that could be you. Maybe some of you are sitting out there and you're thinking that your life is empty. The most important thing is to climb that ladder to get a bigger paycheck. You are in a circle that never ends because none of that ever satisfies. But for others, you have found this bread of life. You have made the amazing discovery that the world will fail, but only Jesus satisfies. If that is you, then you need to make sure that others are offered this bread. We cannot force people to eat it, but at least we should offer it to them. Unfortunately, too many of us discover that it's much easier to be in the bakery than it is to get into the delivery truck. So I'm asking you today to start sharing this bread. There are so many ways to share this bread. Just begin building a friendship with people who don't have this bread. Just start talking to them. You don't have to even talk about religion. Just start a relationship. Just talk. You can do this. Eventually, you can invite them to come to this bakery, right here, called St. John's. And that is the miracle of our Meals to Go ministry. We are now exposing them to the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And tonight, there will be multitudes of people who will go to bed and they realize that they have a totally empty life. They are looking for a sign. They feel that like they have just gone through a war. They are in great distress. And many, this very evening, because of emotional distress and depression, will be crying in their own beds. And we need to be the caregiver that gives each of them that loaf of bread, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. These people need to hear from you about the three S's. Security, they are safe. Significance, someone actually cares about them. And satisfaction, there will be more bread tomorrow. You have that bread of life. That is a gift. That is a sign. Now it's time to share it. Amen.